Darby and Friends, 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com, anywhere. Well, today is going to be a bit of a reminiscence. I was thinking back. You know, I guess what happens, or at least it does for me, I love my birthday. It is like a super moment in life. But it always gives me pause to think about, what am I doing? What do I want to be doing? And what have I done? And so with not the biggest of birthdays, but certainly a consequential birthday coming up in February, I've been having all those thoughts. So my mind took me back about 17 years ago, and I had started blogging all that time ago. And blogging was relatively new then. I didn't know anyone but myself who was blogging. But I had so many ideas I felt was important to share. Coincidentally, back at that similar time, even earlier, I had enrolled isn't the exact word, but I had applied to Christ Church Vestry to be, they call it an examination, where they get to ask you anything they feel like, and they give you assignments to handle and come back the following Sunday. And it's a private group, and they sit on one side of the room, and you sit in front of them, and you go back and forth discussing whether they would be, in fact, willing to sponsor you to the Bishop of Connecticut. Now, at that time, Drew Smith then became the bishop. I had met Drew years before when I was on the Bishop's Fund for Children when Clarence Coleridge was the bishop, who had been, if there are people in one's life who become a light in your life, definitely Bishop Coleridge was that light in my life. And so once he retired, Bishop Coleridge, I thought, I don't want to lose this connection that I feel so deeply about with Christ Church. And so I pursued ordination, not having a clue what that meant, other than twice a week, sometimes three times a week, I went to communion and would observe, listen, be aware of, have an opinion about the priest in charge, the preacher who gave the sermon, how things were being run, my point of view. And I always have pretty strong points of view. And it occurred to me that I felt I could be beneficial. Well, things seemed to be moving along in a good way. And luckily for me, because not everyone who applies is confirmed by the vestry, I was confirmed, which meant that the vestry would send a letter to the bishop saying, we offer up this candidate. Something I didn't realize, there was a rector at that time who, even though everything was smile, 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 didn't really have a strong positive view of women in the clergy. But he was always so charming and positive that I didn't realize that this lag time, and when I say lag, I'm talking years from the application to when I was actually 3 years later able to get an appointment with the bishop, wasn't so much about the bishop, but it was more about not having the rector behind me saying, yes, I agree with our vestry, she would be a good candidate. That's all right. Everything happens for a reason in life. And that's the best part of my birthday. I can look back and have a better, clearer, more focused, less emotional understanding of how I ended up here today. So now I'll give you a little fast forward. By the time the 3 years had passed, many things had been happening in my life, all of which I would, with the help of God, I would say, I have had a very, and continue to have, and plan to continue to have a very positive life. Positive doesn't mean you're giggly and smiley all the time, doesn't mean you get everything you want that you think you want, doesn't mean that every day flows perfectly, doesn't mean you don't have some times of tears and trial, but in general, everything is okay, better than okay. During that time, I had a very sad experience of within a short period of time losing quite a few people plus one pet that were close to me. I lost my father. I lost my father-in-law. I lost my favorite aunt, my mother's sister. I lost my mother-in-law. My son got married, which felt like a loss because he's an only child, and I suddenly realized this other woman was the one he looked at first when he had to make a decision, not me. And then I lost my darling puppy dog of 17 years. I was in a sad place, and we all respond to things differently. For me, sadness often creates a need to talk. Now, you'd laugh if you've been with me for any length of time of these 17 years. Talking comes very easily to me, but in a social situation, until I've had maybe at least one cocktail, I don't say a whole lot. I'm a listener also. So this was, talking was an outlet for all the thoughts. One day, I'm driving down Mason Street. At that time, I drove an Audi. And just not paying much attention to anything except the traffic, and I came to a red light right at the corner of Mason and Lewis Street. Light turned red, I stopped. And my father had a very distinctive voice. You know how you recognize certain people's voices immediately? You couldn't miss Daddy's voice. Now, at this point, he's been dead several years. And he says, "Look right." And I thought, well, you've just been under too much stress and strain. You're hearing voices. And we all know that that's a sign of being cuckoo. So I said to Darby, don't move. Keep your head still. You're not looking right. It had to be the longest red light in history. Once again, very distinctive, my dad. Darby, look right. I refused once again. Of course, this was before we had earbuds or anything like that. Anyone who was next to me or behind me, seeing me have this big, long conversation alone in the car, because for whatever reason, I felt I had to answer him out loud. On the third time he said, look right, I felt maybe this was really something I should do. And I looked right, and there was a sign, WGCH. Now, I had been interviewed on WGCH for some different charity that I had been the chairman of, and it was actually in a different location over by the grocery store. And I thought, my goodness, when did they come here? And I thought, well, all right. Three times my dad saying, look right. I look right. That's the first thing I see. I pulled into the parking lot. So now I say, okay, now what am I going to do? And I have this sort of spontaneous personality, and I'm not fearful by and large. And I'm definitely not shy. So, grabbed my handbag, got out of the car, locked the door, came up the steps, and there was a woman, Mary Ann, sitting at the front desk. So I assumed she was the receptionist, only to find out she had wore many hats, one of which she had a talk show, a very fun, which I don't totally remember the name of, but it was Saturday mornings, and it had to do with being Italian. And it just, I remember hearing the show, but I hadn't put the two things together. So I said, I have a proposal I'd like to discuss with your program manager. And then this was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And she said, well, do you have an appointment? And I said, no, But I just thought maybe this hour of the day, I don't need much time. I just want to suggest the proposal. And if it's good, you know, great. And if it's not, I'll be on my way. So she excused herself from the front desk and went into an office and came out and said, oh, yes, he'll see you. I didn't know who the he was, but I found out when I was taken into the office, it was a man called Jeffrey Weber. He was a new owner. It had previously been owned by a Mr. Thompson. So I sit down, and Mr. Weber's, you know, very professional and blah, 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 back and forth, back and forth. And he said, what's your idea? And I said, well, you know, there's always that time on Sunday mornings. See, I hadn't given up on religion yet. There's that time on Sunday mornings where you're trying to park the car and get the kids out of the car and, you know, be sure they head off to Sunday school or choir practice or whatever. But it's not quite time to go in for the service. And it occurred to me that 15 minutes of just some good news. Now, I can't even tell you now who was president back then. I don't remember what was politically going on because I wasn't following things like that as much. But even then, I felt the world needed a relief from news, and that 15 minutes of just something to lift your spirits would be good, because not every preacher gives you a good feeling about what's happening in the world. So fine, I pitched the whole thing. And then he starts to explain to me, oh, and then he says, do you have any experience? And I said, well, I have public speaking experience, but I've never been on radio. Well, I wondered what meant. Oh, I'll be right back after a quick commercial break. Welcome back to Darby and Friends, 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. Well, I was telling you about how I started here in WGCH way back when, almost two decades worth of way back when. And the first show was called Live, Let's Live Now. And it was based on the blog that I was writing. The blog was being written every day, and I would use one of those blogs every Sunday. And they were not religious in terms of expressing any particular faith, but expressing human values of kindness, compassion, care, to share, to just be a good human being. And that it's just a better way to live. And the blog took off. I'm trying to remember now. I stopped blogging quite a while, 10 years ago. So I don't remember the platform that I was on. But at the end of every year, they would tell you how many thousands of people were reading your blog. I had bloggers, people reading my blog all over the world, literally. So I knew the message was getting out there. And when Mr. Weber had said, you know, you have to sign a contract, and I thought, oh, golly, I can't sign contracts without asking my husband. So my husband gave me some parameters of what makes a business feel worthwhile. So I explained that to Mr. Weber when I came back, and he said, well, I accept your proposal, and we will not demand a contract for anything longer than a few months. I said, well, okay, that's fair. So that worked, and once a month for almost a year. And then we're going into, oh, and the other thing, Mr. Weber, although we didn't always get along personality to personality, I think we just weren't the right astrological signs or something. But he was a very good mentor, and that he would call me on Monday. The show would be Sunday. He'd call me on Monday and say, you know, you should have done this. You should have said this. This is how radio is. And that's how you learn. So the new year comes up, and suddenly Marianne is not doing her slot during the week anymore. Okay. And he goes, do you think, no, that's not right, isn't doing her slot. I find out about that from Bob, who has been my comrade in all of the life of being at WGCH. And I said to Bob, what do you think? Do you think I could do it? And he said, in typical Bob fashion, do you think you can do it? And I said, of course I think I can do it. And we had a nice chuckle over that. So I called Mr. Weber, and I said, like an appointment. And the main office, I guess, was in Stamford at that time. So I went over, and I said, I can do it. And he laughed. He said, Darby, it's a big leap to go from 15 minutes on Sunday morning taped to a live show 5 days a week for an hour. I said, I can do it. So he said, all right, I'll give you January, February, and March. If I don't like what I'm hearing at March, you say, thank you, Mr. Weber, for the chant, and no hard feelings, and it's done. You can have another show doing what you normally do, but that's it, because I have to. This is a prime time. I said, okay. Well, here I am. I'm still doing it. And literally, it's just about, not quite, but just about 17 years of daily broadcasting. And as I mentioned, if I hadn't had Bob Small to be my, can I call you a soulmate? I'm not sure what we're, yeah, good friend. How about good friend? Good friend of Darby. I was able to travel. And he gave me all the kinds of hookups and equipment and way to, it was a Radiolicious. When I'd be away, I could plug into Radiolicious and broadcast from all sorts of weird places. But then technology just went, you know, screaming past us. And then we were able eventually to get good enough quality of sound that I could tape a show in advance and it would still work. And so over this time period, we've gone from Let's Live, Live Now to Darby and Friends. And it was Mr. Weber who named it Darby and Friends because I had no idea what to call it. And he said, well, your name is distinctive, not too many Darbys. And he said, you have a lot of friends in town. I've been here a long time. I said, okay, Darby and Friends. And that was the birth of Darby and Friends. So in the course of all that time, I have had numerous ambassadors and ambassadresses who live in town. We're very fortunate here in Greenwich to have such a really high quality of people who want to serve their country in a variety of ways. I've had the, I'm just blanking suddenly. It was Peter Tessie. First Selectman. That's what we call him. And one night I was being honored by the Greenwich Symphony as a contributor to the Greenwich Symphony. And he was supposed to speak and talk about me. And he said, I listen to Darby. I don't know what she's talking about, but her voice is so lovely. It calms me on a day that's been distressing. I have had chefs from a lot of the different restaurants. When Elm Street Oyster first opened, I was one of their original interviews to welcome them to Greenwich. The other one, Pasta Vera, now that's gone. Kaput. but many, many different restaurants here in town have been highlighted. I have shared all kinds of recipes with you over different holidays, the down and dirty easy way to make great shortcuts when you're cooking for a lot of people. I've shared with you about travel, places that I have gone to and enjoyed and why and what I've seen that have been so important. Frequently, we have covered art, the Bruce, having Ken Silver come on and talk about exhibitions that would be going on. in music, we've covered classical music of the fantastic, amazing Greenwich Symphony. Jazz, our marvelous, dear, dear friend Benny Wallace, who does backcountry jazz and has the Beboppers from Bridgeport and his philanthropy to kids who, without his help of musical education and gifting of instruments to young people, would never have the experience. And culture, all different kinds of culture that we have discussed on the show. And, of course, religion. What would my show be without religion? For a couple of years, we had Rabbi Hurvitz, that's his name, Mitch Hurvitz, and Jim, the priest Jim Lemler from Christ Church, and I can't think what it was called. I had it a minute ago. It'll come back. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was a wonderful show because both of these religious leaders were more interested about what we have in common than what we are separated. So it would be fabulous conversations. Always was covering what was going on in town. Certainly I have a focus on elders. I just feel that's something, and maybe that's because I consider myself an older adult now. I've grown son and grandchildren. So, you know, you are as young as you feel. Look in the mirror and think youthful thoughts. Don't say, oh, well, I'm giving up. It's over. I also had different schools. I've had the head of the Board of Ed. I've had camps, information about camps. On a regular basis, always have the Red Cross covered so you know where you can go or what you can do to be a volunteer, to help out in a crisis, and also just blood drives. This is very, very important to the ongoing success of American Red Cross. And we are the headquarters of the Metro New York North chapter of the Red Cross. Junior League. Had the Junior League representatives over the years, the different presidents, the different leaders of committees that are so important, touch a truck and things like that. Greenwich Hospital, their NICU unit, their just extraordinary ways that they are helping the Greenwich community live a long and healthy life. Greenwich Arts Council, it's another art. We are a supporter of them and all the different things. And that's only the tip of the iceberg over all this time of things that we have covered. Now, St. Patrick's Day will be not too far away. And we have in the past always participated in the parade. And, you know, if you're out there and you see the car go by with the WGCH banner, wave and say hello. Let people know that you're listening. It's such a good feeling to the people who sit in the studio. You hope you have a lot of interested listeners, but you have no way of knowing. Although I will say, going to the grocery store, if I'm pushing my cart and I maybe ask the butcher or, you know, somebody a question, and someone hears me and they go, "Excuse me, are you Darby?" I go, "Yes, I am." And they say, "Oh, I recognized your voice." So that's an interesting thing. Oh, Greenwich Library. That has been more fun, especially if you've lived here for a while. So you know the changes that have gone on since you've been in town. And of course, I couldn't say farewell to all of you, dear friends, without saying a very special thank you to John Tooming, the Greenwich Library Oral History Project liaison for me. We have laughed, we have shed a tear, and we have just relished in all the wonderful oral histories that John Tooming has shared for many, many, many years. So that's my music. And that's the final time you will hear me and my music. Because today, my friends, instead of seeing you again, or you'll hear me again, I have decided that it's time to leave the party while everything is wonderful and glorious. And I wish you all the best wishes in life, health, happiness, and fulfillment of those wonderful things that you have on your heart. This is Darby saying goodbye to all my friends.